All right. It's Saturday morning. Let's have a good time. Oh, yeah. So many people that believe they can't have a good time on a Saturday morning listening to a radio show that's talking about mental health conditions. But we can. Do you know why we can? Because we keep things as positive as possible, but we have to stay real with the reality that people out there listening to us listen in because they have mental health conditions or physical conditions that affect their performance at work and at school. And so we have to talk about the feelings that they have, and we have to help them to overcome them. And sometimes it takes more than one or two shows. We have many people who have been listening to our shows for over 6 months, or from the very beginning when we started last year, in January of last year, in 2009. It's hard to believe that we started that long ago, and that we are now, we've been viewed by over 6,000 people, and have a very, very wonderful listening audience of over, I believe it's up to 2,200 on a regular basis that listen to the show from all over the world, and over 6,000 that view the show profile. So we're very happy about that. We've got a lot of callers coming in this morning. They must be interested in what we're going to talk about this morning. I think our first one is one of our co-hosts here. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. Speak up. I can't hear you very well. Try it again. Okay, let's see if maybe a different way will work. Can you hear me now? Hello? We'll come back to that that caller. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Professor Apple.
Oh, good morning. Okay, I did get somebody here on the other line then. Okay, it's good to hear your voice. This is our Nazim Rashid, I can tell.
Yes.
Am I right or wrong? I'm right.
You are right.
And
yes,
that was that great music that you always start our show off with. I don't know, could you hear me before when I was introducing your show? Or did we have a lack?
No, I didn't catch that part.
Okay, I have a different headset on this morning, so I was trying it out. So obviously it doesn't work, so we'll just stay right with the telephone. Good old telephone, reliable telephone. Sometimes technology doesn't give us what we want, okay? Now, let me go back to Dorothy there. Dorothy, do you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm so glad to have you with us this morning. It's always good to hear your voice. It's good to know that, just like I was speaking a moment ago about loyal listeners, and that we've been on the air since January of 2009, and before that we were a teleconference call. And we really appreciate the loyalty of the listeners that have continued to be with us. And on an average, we know that every Saturday we have over 2,200 listeners on a regular basis. And then we have over 6,000 that are looking at our profile and listening in. So we're very happy that our show has grown to that level, that people are interested in what we're talking about. And this is without doing any major promotion out there. So we're hoping that once we start promoting, that we'll get more people that are interested in the topics that we're discussing about mental and physical health and how we can overcome anything. We want to overcome. We can overcome it, and we can learn to adapt our lives to doing the best that we can. And one of these days I will allow myself to be interviewed and bring that to a reality for all of the listeners out there of how I have learned how to adapt my life. But right now, I want to focus on our listeners and the kind of information that we're receiving in that they want to hear more about. And so please stay tuned. We have one more listener right now that's coming on board, so we want to make sure we get her. And good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Who am I?
This is Maria.
Good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
One of our other loyal listeners, always there, always willing to support and share her story. And so I know that we have more coming on that will be willing to speak up a little bit this morning because we have a part four, which is the final episode for ignoring our mental health conditions that may affect performance at school and work. And this is very important that we recognize that there are things that affect our performance that we're not sometimes aware of. And so that's what we're trying to do now is bring awareness to people that may not be knowledgeable about some of the signs, the symptoms of some of the conditions that are out there. And so we want to bring them into that kind of reality so that they can go and seek the help that they need. And so we really appreciate you tuning in. And, of course, share the information with other people, right? Nazim, we want them to share it, you know. Nazim Rashid will tell you
a little
bit more about. Yeah, and you tell us more about your show. At the end of the show, you'll have some time to introduce what you're doing, and we hope that the listeners at that time will tell other people what you're doing on your show that will be following the student, the teacher show. Sponsored by White Apple Institute.
Wonderful.
Okay. So let's have Dorothy introduce our topic so that we can get everybody on the same page. And feel free to take a few notes if you're not clear on what she's talking about. And that will be how we'll start the show with some questions. Okay? Go ahead, Dorothy.
Okay. The show name today is Ignoring Mental Health Conditions That May Affect Performance at School and Work, Part 4. There are many mental health conditions that affect our performance on the job. This episode is on the harm of stress, anger, and obsessive-compulsive disorders. This is the summary and conclusion of the most commonly seen diagnoses reported by the Office of Disability Resources on college campuses, Society of Human Resources, and the U.S. Department of Labor, and other reputable sources. Professor Danita Applewhite and guests invite you to listen in by computer at blogtalkradio.com or call us at 1-646-727-3758 to share your comments and questions.
Thank you so much. And
you're welcome.
We appreciate how well read you are, Dorothy, and you put some enthusiasm in there, girl, I'll tell you. And you know, when you speak, people listen. You know, it sounds like that commercial that used to come on a long time ago about that financial company, E.F. Hutton. Now, see, we just gave a plug to somebody and didn't get any money for it, Nazim. Okay, but that's all right. I was making a point that when Dorothy speaks, people listen, okay? And the issue is today is that we want to talk about the harm that can be caused by people not understanding what stress can really do to the body, what anger can do to the body, and how to note when you're having when you have an obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, mind you that all of these things were put together as just looking at reports that come in from the disability resources communities, from different colleges, and also from the human resource side of employers that have had to send people out to what they call the EAP, the Employee Assistance Program, to get help because they were not able to keep up with their job. And when they didn't follow through with what the employer asked, then, of course, the employer asked them to leave because you've got to address the issues. You can't let them go. You can't let them just what do you, what would we call that, Nazim? Just to stew in the pot? We can't let them just stew in the pot and stay in the crock pot and never address them. You know, when we got issues, we got issues. And all of us have issues. It just depends on how severe they are, right? I mean, everybody's got stress.
Got that right.
And everybody's got anger. And believe it or not, everybody's got a little OCD, which we call obsessive compulsive disorders. You know, there are some things that we do over and over again. We have routines that we follow. But it's when these things get out of hand that they start affecting the way we perform in our life. Not just at school and work. I mean, that's our focus at White Apple Institute is school and work. But when it goes outside of school and work, even into our homes and working on our spouses and our children, this is definitely time to look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, something's going on here that's not cool. I don't like the way I feel. I don't like the way I'm interacting with others. So I need to get some, you don't even have to say help. You can just say, I need to get some support. Right?
Right.
Do you have to say help? Maybe that makes people feel bad. I don't know. What do you think? See, I got to
get some help. Well,
you're right, exactly. You know, I got to get some help. I think sometimes that just that statement alone makes people feel uncomfortable. So maybe we need to change the way that we encourage them to go and see someone. What are some ideas that we could come up with if we know that somebody has a real anger issue and that we see stress taking over on them physically and mentally? I mean, what are some of the things that you could think of that you could tell somebody? Anybody have any comments on that?
Well, I think I would probably let's get a massage and do a de-stressor moment.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. That's a very that's beautiful. Now, if that doesn't work, then we know that it's gone a little further than it needs to go, right?
Right.
If we take them to the spa. And they get all that treatment, and then you're getting back in the car after you've had a beautiful lunch and a beautiful day, and that person is still talking about the same thing they were talking about in the morning before you started to even take them there, then that's time to step in and say something else now. You know, because obviously this is not an easy situation to take care of. See, those situations do work, because they worked on me, that's for sure, okay, all right, and I'm sure, you know, Maria, you know, you get your feet done, you know, get a pedicure and that kind of thing, and you feel better, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you get a chance to get over the, you know, the hump, so to speak, of all the stress and all the anger. You don't feel like punching out anybody. And, you know, you don't feel this compulsion. Compulsion is an interesting a way of looking at of how we become obsessed with things. See, we become obsessed first. That's the first thing. We become so obsessed with something that something has to be a certain way. It has to operate a certain way. It has to be in a certain place. A routine has to be followed. Okay, so that becomes the obsession. Okay? Now, the compulsion comes up when we start acting irrational about it. And we want to hurt somebody when they change something about what we are obsessed with. And we get angry. Okay? And believe it or not, this might surprise some of our viewers, our listeners out there. There are people in the mental health field that get obsessed with things. They get obsessed with helping clients. And when clients are not responding to their help, then their compulsion is to get a little strong with them, you know. Like I was looking at a cartoon not too long ago, and the counselor was sitting on the chair next to the client who was laying on the couch, and so obviously it was a mental health counselor, and the client wasn't responding the way the counselor wanted them to respond. And do you know what the counselor says? Don't let me come over there. Don't let me come over there. Like he's going to beat him up if he doesn't say what he wants to say. You know, you've been in therapy for a long time. I want to see some change happen because I'm feeling like I'm not being effective. So that's not the patient's fault. That's the counselor. And maybe that's why the client is not going anywhere, because he feels this push, this pressure that he has to move in a different direction. And that's not how we help people. We help people by seeing the direction that they're in and empowering them, which Nazim can talk a lot about, empowering them to find their own way, to make their own path, where they can find some joy in life, some happiness. Isn't that right, Nazim? Hello?
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
You?
Exactly right. And it's important to understand that, am I there?
Yes.
That it's important to validate people where they are. And too many times counselors and teachers want to talk to the student or client where they want them to be first, instead of validating where they are and being okay at that level first. And then, through empathy and careful guidance, you can bring them up to where it is a healthy position for them.
Mm-hmm. I can see a lot of reference to the things that you talk about in your book, Reconnected, that's coming out soon, that we could take a lot of this stress and anger, and especially the obsessive compulsiveness that many people have, because that's usually linked back to something we become obsessed with, because it's the only thing maybe that we had in our lives that we had to hold on to. That could be, you know, a clean room or washing our hands constantly, you know, doing something that, putting on makeup over and over and over again. You know, and then there's the obsessiveness to shop. That happens a lot with women. They get this obsessiveness to shop, and so the compulsion is that they go out there and they do it. And they don't think about running up their cards or anything. And that's because something in their early childhood, in their family life, triggered this response from them to hold on to something. So there's something that you talk about a lot that we can do to go back and make sure that we don't have, or that we can erase some of those issues or begin to adapt to some of the issues. You go ahead and change that word however you want to, but I know that there's something there when we start reconnecting virtually.
Sure there is, of course. You know, but again, it's important to acknowledge and respect what a person is. And it might be a hard thing to understand when we talk about when someone has a anger issue or something that you know is deleterious, it's very harmful to themselves and others, it's hard to say, how do you respect that? How do you acknowledge that? Well, you can do that because that's where they are at the time, you see,
right,
and so forth. So it's important to still do it. If someone hits somebody, okay, they say, yeah, I hit that person. It felt good. I want to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might say, okay, well, what you're saying is that you had a fight there and it felt good to you. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. And so how did that really make you feel? I feel good. Okay, well, it sounds like it made you feel good. It feels pretty good there. They exercise your power and control over someone else. Is that what you're telling me? Yeah. Okay, all right. And now, have you thought about how the other person might have felt? You know, I understand what you're saying. I feel what you're saying, your energy. You're saying that it made you feel good. Yeah, okay. All right, now, how about the other person? The closer of that person on the receiving end, how would it feel then, you know? And so you kind of go along those lines so you aren't judging. You know, you're just trying to ask the questions, empathize and ask the questions so a person doesn't feel they have to defend themselves against you because you're
right,
an authority figure, you see. And so you do it that way. And so that way you eventually can get them to bond with you, to connect with you, and then you can start asking those questions to get them to start thinking about themselves in a healthier perspective. And that's how you kind of go around that a little bit, see. So that's how we do that.
Mm-hmm. So when we're dealing with anger and even stress, and we think that, and I'm just going to focus on those two right now, stress in itself is caused by many, many factors. I mean, in our environment, but it's also inside of us. It's an inside job because something is going on inside of us that we can't seem to control, the stress and the anger that we're feeling about not being able to fix something in our lives. And so the only way that we can do it is to go back and figure out, why do we have all of this stress? You know, I've seen a lot of students that, I remember one, for instance, that he didn't even have to do much to step into the classroom before he started breaking out in a sweat before the exam came. Okay, before the exam even hit the desk, okay, the young man was sweating and he was shaking and he was going through a lot of stress on that. Now, that comes from somewhere else. That's not from that particular classroom because, first off, that was the first test that he had actually had. You know, he had little exams before that, but this was the first test, and for him to have that kind of reaction was pretty serious. So I know that in reading your book, I found a lot of different answers that I would have come up with then for him to look at, you know, by just asking him, you know, when's the first time you felt this way, you know, and, when did this start? And, of course, if it gets too deep, then because of my position and where I have to be as not only a counselor but as his teacher, And you know, we don't want to step over on roles here. So I'm going to try to find somebody who can help him. And I don't just want to find anybody. I want to find somebody that knows a little bit about helping him to reconnect with his childhood memories and being able to create an alternative for him. Right? That's what he needs to do. He needs an alternative way of looking at this exam and this fear that he has.
Of course, yes. All those things come from somewhere. They have a source somewhere. Somewhere along the line, he was conditioned to be like that, or he developed defense strategies or survival strategies to be that way so he could protect himself. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have any comments about how they felt when they were feeling a lot of stress and even anger about something, especially related to school or work? Any other comments? Listeners, make sure that you call in to the number. Dorothy, you want to give them that number out there so that they can call in?
Yes, it's 1-646-727-3758.
Okay, so we want you to call in and give us your ideas also, because we know that you have some great ideas, and we want to hear what you have to say about not only if you felt any stress, but you've seen other people in stress and tried to help them, and it just didn't work. No matter what you said, they still kept on going through this stressful thing. Maria, have you ever known anybody like that?
Not really. I don't know. Not sure.
Around you, even when you've been in nursing homes, there's been people around you, and we just lost a very beautiful friend who had a lot of stress most of the time in her life, and that's Melissa Cordell. We give honor and praise to Melissa, who passed away a few days ago. And a lot of her source of discomfort was because of the stress she felt in her life. And a very young woman to have a cardiac arrest. And she was very faithful to White Apple Institute and enjoyed helping people and telling them about what the work that we're doing. And we will miss Melissa. And at this time, our condolences go out to her family and to her husband, Tony, who is now going to have challenges living without her because of his love for her. But he also knew about how stress affects the heart and the individual and the way they react to their environment. You could see a lot of stress in not only Melissa, but in people with disabilities. Is that right, Maria?
Yes.
People with disabilities have a lot of stress. One of the reasons I know of is that they're dealing with society. They're dealing with the lack of knowledge that people have in society about the ability that people have to survive and go to school and become lawyers and medical personnel and do all kinds of wonderful things, become great mechanics and great architects and with physical and mental issues. But unless they are given an opportunity and encouraged, not only by their friends, but their employers, their teachers, and organizations like White Apple Institute, they lose it. They lose that sense of wanting to go forward, and they become very stressed, don't they? A lot of stress. Like, why don't you listen to me? Why don't you hear me? Why don't you take the time to sit down and listen to what I have to say, even if I speak a little differently than you do? Do you know what I mean, Maria?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, some people won't even take the time to sit down and listen to you speak because they are in such a hurry. And it's getting worse, I think. It's getting worse in our world. We're moving ahead so quickly in our world that, people just don't stop anymore. They run in front of you if you're trying to open a door. Sometimes they won't even open a door for you if you're in a wheelchair. They want to get in and they want to get out. You know, even if you have a back problem, right, Nazim? And you're walking a little slower than most people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, you were able to overcome some serious issues with your back and some stressful issues with your back. And would you mind sharing with the audience how you were able to reconnect yourself and pull yourself out? Because now when I see you, there's always this smile. There's not that you didn't smile before, but you were still in pain when you were smiling. Now you have pretty much beat it, and there's a reason why you did.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, first of all, you have to have the right kind of attitude. And, you know, an attitude has to be one that really has your deeper inner self, that child self, behalf in mind. When a doctor told me back in the mid-80s that I would probably need back surgery real soon because my lower lumbar was basically kind of gone, being degenerated, and I looked at him, you know, inside I'm saying, I hear with my voice inside telling me that I will be fine, I will not need surgery, I'll be okay. And doctor keeps looking at me saying, did you hear what I said? And I'm nodding, but inside I'm saying, no, I don't. I'm hearing another voice. And so I committed myself to rigorous physical therapy, telling myself I'll be just fine. And so it's very important, the attitude and the committed passion toward excellence within has to be there. And so now after that, I had more trauma. I had more accidents and more back injuries after that.
Okay.
And I got even worse and so forth. And every time I would be okay for a while, another accident would happen. I said, oh, my God. And I had 3 car accidents out here since 95 until about 8 years ago. And
right.
So after the last car accident, you know, doctor said, that's it now. Now you're done. And I kept saying, I got a better future for myself. I'm going to be fine. And so I kept going to astonishing physical therapists. I kept going to recover, even though I kept getting other injuries and having problems.
Uh-huh.
I kept saying, I see a different end in all this. You know, even though...
kept on saying what? Say that again.
I see a different end.
Uh-huh.
You know, a different end in all
you
this.
See
even
a
though
different
I kept,
end. Uh-huh.
Even though my body was kind of spiraling down the toilet, so to speak. But
right,
I saw
right.
a different end, you know,
yes.
and so forth, and I did. And so I kept on opening my mind up to other kind of possibilities. You see, that means that there are alternative therapies out here. The medical doctors, the MDs, do not have all the answers.
Right.
You see, actually, no one person does have all the answers.
Uh-huh.
You see, so therefore, you have to open yourself up to different kinds of modalities. And so when I started looking at non-intervention modalities, energetic techniques and so forth, that have a real good tie to spirituality, then I started seeing some real serious results here. I started seeing that. And so I broke away more from the medical doctors. Actually, I was never really connected to them anyway, but as I started drawing myself more toward the energy field, then I started finding more and more results and more connection to God there too, because God is right there, you see.
Yeah.
And so I started feeling better and better and better and better and better. And then I said, oh, my God. Then I experienced JoLynn Brand's quantum biofeedback last year. And that was like a miracle. When I finished that machine, I felt zero pain, zero. I felt like I was 20 years old again. It
right.
was a complete miracle. Now, that particular method didn't last right there because I didn't continue sessions. But that gave me a way of identifying with a certain feeling. And see, that's a problem that a lot of young folks have out here, and people have challenges. They don't have that feeling they can identify with, that's the feeling they really want to have, you see.
Uh-huh.
And so if you have pain and suffering of a lot of your life, you identify with that. You identify with the pain. You identify with the suffering. You identify with the failures. You identify with not walking anymore. You identify with not talking correctly. You identify
yes.
with all these issues, and then those things become you. You see, they are your identity. You see, you look at yourself, you see faults, you see disability, you see failures, you see not doing it, not making the grade. That's what you see when you identify with those kind of issues or those kind of feelings. So I'm saying when you experience either in physical reality or in virtual reality a feeling or a situation that is paradise for you, is heaven for you, you latch on to that. You latch on to that. I'm telling you, you latch on, you attach yourself with super glue to that feeling right there. And so then when I had that feeling last year, I said, okay, now that's my new feeling. I'm going to identify with that. Now, even though my body started changing maybe 2 months after that, I held on to that feeling there. And so therefore, so I kept searching for ways I can get back there. And I did. And so I had some other energy treatment. And then I ran to what's called the Matrix Energetics. Again, Matrix Energetics, which is another form of energy technique. There's so many out there. There's so many out there. But that's another form. And that one I especially like because they teach you how to take care of yourself. It's not just a patient-doctor thing. Actually, there is no patient-doctor. No one's a patient. No one's a doctor. Everybody is there learning. And so, therefore, someone else has a few more skills, maybe they're passing on what they have on to you, and they want you to learn, and then you teach yourself. And so I said, oh, this is wonderful. It's really an empowerment experience. So I'm getting healed more so. I'm learning how to take care of myself and how to connect more so to what God has out here for me. So it's a very holistic form of treatment. And I just experienced just great blessings from that, and it's wonderful. I mean, I used to spend 3 or 4 hours every single day doing an exercise just to be able to walk okay for the afternoon.
Yes, I
did that in order for me to walk okay the afternoon. And now I could do like about an hour of simple stretching, and I'm fine. You know, so I went from 4 hours down to 1 hour, and so forth. And I can even do 45 minutes if I really abbreviated. And I'm okay, you know, and so forth. So it's a complete difference. But it's all about identifying with the feeling you want to have and saying to yourself, you will have nothing else but that. Knock on pause there.
That's right. That's right. And you know, you're leading us into the discussion that I wanted to end with. And we have another caller on the line. Let's see if we can open the call. It's coming from an 818 number. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite, student to teacher to student. How can we help you? I know you've got something to share. What's your name? Hello? 818 number. Let's see. I hope we didn't lose you. Okay, I think we've got you now. Hi, caller. You're on air. This is Professor Applewhite.
Hi, Professor Applewhite. This is Deborah.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I just tuned in. Just found
good.
A way to get online. Yes, and I heard the young man speaking, and that was inspiring. Thank you for sharing that.
Great.
Yes, so I wish I could have heard the whole message, but I did catch the end of the walking, stretching, and
well, you'll hear it come back around and summarize again. And we appreciate you calling in from California. We have so many listeners that call in from all over the place, and we're always happy to hear from people outside of the state of Arizona. We're located. This is where our headquarters are located, but we have people calling in from Nigeria, from Australia, and everywhere, all over the nation. And so and sometimes circumstances are different from what we're talking about as far as stress, because the stressors that we're talking about are usually in the United States dealing with financial issues, a lot of our stress, and trying to go to school and work and deal with that. But there's a lot of other stressors that happen in life, stressors with marriage, stressors with children. But we focus on the school and work issues because that's what White Apple Institute is all about. So So wherever you feel comfortable jumping in here, we have about 20 minutes left on the show, and anything that you want to share with us about how you've either overcome stress and anger in your life or you've known somebody who has, please feel free to share that with us.
Well, I'm just beginning to deal with mine, so if you don't mind, I'd appreciate just listening in this time.
All right. Sure, that's fine. That's fine. There's a lot of people, and I want to go back for a minute on what you were saying, Nazim, because that was some very interesting things. And I want to make sure that people understand that when we speak about healing ourselves and looking to the Creator for that energy to heal ourselves, that we have to be open and willing to do that. And that's what I heard. Did you hear that too, Dorothy, and other callers online? You have to be willing to...
Yes,
it
is a choice.
Go ahead.
Yes, I agree. You have to be willing if you come to a place in your life where you make a choice. I want to do better than this. Where do I begin? And just being willing will have... information, you will you might not be thinking about where to begin, but somebody will cross your path or give you a book or one of the teachers will come over and you'll find out step by step what you're willing, resources will come your way that you had not even thought about before.
Exactly. And you have to be open to receiving them. Not only open to that initial step to take of saying, you know what, this has gone beyond just being stressed out about something. This has gone beyond about obsessing about something and wanting things to be just right, like people who have germs, germ issues, and everybody has germs, of course, but people who have who are so worried about being contaminated. And they try to rid their whole world of germs. I think there was a television show by the name of Monk, and the guy was always wiping down everything. And I thought it was, the times that I've seen the show, I thought it was intelligently done, and they weren't laughing at him, because there are a lot of people that are so afraid of things, and that they don't even want to go outside of the house and engage in relationships with other people because they're so afraid of what might happen. We have another caller online from 321 prefix. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Jocelyn.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful for you to join us. Wonderful for you to join us. I mean, I think you can probably relate to what I just said just now about the losing battle of trying to avoid all contamination and germs, being that, scientifically we throw out so many germs from our mouth and from our hands every day. I mean, I've got figures here that would blow your mind, but I'm not gonna overwhelm everybody with all that scientific stuff, but I think you understand what I'm saying, you know.
Yes.
And that's where the obsessive compulsive behavior comes in. That's where obsessions themselves. Joe, did you say your name? Jocelyn?
Jocelyn.
Okay. Obsessions are thoughts. They're just thoughts that feel foreign to us. They feel different to us. And they often take on the form of being like repeated wishes and behavior, repeated urges to yell out even obscenities, okay, and have a lot of doubts about who we are and what we're doing. And so compulsions themselves are very similar to obsessions, and that's why we call it obsessive compulsive disorder. And we see this so many times in students, and we see it at work with the people we work with. And I was just trying to find a good story from some of our listeners out there. Of either, and we've got a few that already have happened already. I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but if you have anything that you'd like to share with us about how you've either overcome stress and anger or obsessive behaviors, or you've helped someone else to find that light, to get some help, some support?
Most of the overcoming and everything that I've done, not to say that I don't still have, you know, issues, but
sure.
It's been through my practice of Nichiren and Daishonin Buddhism.
Uh-huh.
You know, my chanting Nam Myoho Renge Kyo has helped me a lot.
Uh-huh.
It helped me to realize the strength that I didn't even know I myself had.
Well, that's interesting because, I mean, people find strength in all walks of life.
I had to make a choice.
Humanity. Yes. Yes. And if that brings you joy, then that's at least one pathway to start on. Okay?
Definitely.
Who knows where that may lead you later on down the road. But that's what we're looking for. It's not that we're pushing any religion over another one. We don't do that at all. We respect all choices from the White Apple Institute site. But we also look for the stories that people can tell about how they've been able to overcome. And if you were able to overcome by chanting, then that's an important aspect for you. And it helped you deal with your anger or your stress?
Stress.
Uh-huh. Right, stress that affects you physically also, right?
Oh, yeah, mentally, physically, emotionally.
Right.
Just about every kind of way.
you know, it's funny. We've got about 12 minutes remaining.
And I've also learned that, you know, it's a choice whether or not to let these things overwhelm me and cause me maybe to do something that I may end up regretting or to handle it differently. You know, when I recognize that it's there, then it's up to me to take some type of action before I let it overtake me.
Exactly.
And that is what I have learned to do through my chanting.
Nazim, that's just what you were saying a little while ago, wasn't it? Is that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Sure, of course.
Yeah. That she did something where she recognized that there was something bothering her and that she needed to address it, especially with stress. You know, so many people are not aware of how detrimental stress is to our physical being. And, you know, they're thinking, oh, I'm just sweating, oh, I'm upset, I'm angry. But that stress on every organ in your body, especially your stomach area, where ulcers come from, even within the throat area, the heart, the lungs, all of it is affected by stressful conditions. And so you're right, ma'am, that when you get into these situations where you're recognizing, hey, something's not right here, this is going on too long, this is not just being upset over something my mother or my father or my brother said or my husband said or whatever, this is something that is gone beyond that, and it's starting to hurt me, so I need to get some support here. And I said some support because earlier in the show we were what started off the conversation, and I think Maria was helping us out with that, is that sometimes it's not maybe the greatest idea to tell someone you need to get some help because that makes people feel uncomfortable about reaching out. It makes them feel that maybe they're less than the other individual. So maybe we could use more encouraging words like, you know, maybe I could help you with some encouragement. May I help you in the motivation to find someone to talk to? May I support your efforts? Using words like that may build an equal relationship that person. Do you agree with that, Dorothy? Are you with me on that? I hadn't heard from you for a while there.
Yes.
You
yes,
with
I
us?
Like what I'm hearing. I really
uh-huh.
like what I'm hearing, especially when Joyce Lynn said there's a choice. She reminded us again there is a choice.
Yes.
When you start feeling it. As far as, it is true, a lot of times if you say to a person, I think, it would be nice to talk to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or get therapy.
Yeah.
because I know someone like this, and they close up right away, close up really fast.
Right.
So I love that we're exploring how can we safely encourage or add tools and suggestions that will not cause a person to shut down.
Right. And to feel that horrible word that we have out there in many communities. And it's so sad that we call people crazy. And whenever anyone that truly has a serious issue, to hear someone say, girl, you're crazy, man, you're crazy, it doesn't help them to seek help. It makes them to shut down even more. And that might be something that they might have heard from a sister or a brother earlier in their life, that there's something wrong with you, you're overly sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got about 7 minutes remaining on the show. Nazim, I bet you have something you want to respond to about that, about how family members can really, really do a job on you, where when by the time you get to college or workforce, you know, we've got our work cut out for us, those of us that are counselors and teachers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, I mean,
right about that.
We got a message for parents out there, too, don't we, today?
Yeah, it's a whole lot.
You know, that happens, or I don't know what that noise is in the background, but if somebody could mute their phone or cover their mouthpiece, that would really be helpful. But one of the things that I'm really concerned about is that, you know, I used to work with the K through 12 grades and be open to helping the parents with their children. But what I found is that there really are enough resources within the school system. We got to crank them up, you know what I mean? Put some oil in them, oil them up and gas them up or whatever we need to do. Like President Obama is trying to do with education reform. I'm hoping that in firing any teachers out there that are not encouraging students on a positive level, that we're really looking at everything that they're doing and not just firing them because of one thing, but looking at the whole picture, because we might find something very good in those teachers that we can bring out the other part and still save them. But, if we're looking at teachers or parents who are not doing effective jobs in preparing our young people for the future, which is success at school and work, because that's why we go to school. Everybody can agree with that pretty much. I mean, we go to learn. We love to learn, most of us. But we go for the express purpose of one day we're going to have this job and we're going to have a house and we're going to be able to obtain the American dream. Does everybody agree?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, and don't disagree with me just because you don't want to disagree with me. But, I mean, I really want to make sure that everybody's on the same page with me, because if parents get into that frame of mind of knowing that whatever I do with this child at 5 years old and 10 years old and certainly 15 and 16 is going to reflect on them when they finally open up the doors to college, if they even do that, this is going to help them and prevent them from dropping out. This is going to make sure that they get a successful job, the job that they really want to make them happy, instead of going the route of doing the street drugs and giving up. All of those things parents have to think about, because what they do is at the end, we're going to try our best. People like White Apple Institute and other agencies out there, we're going to do our best to help, because there's not a lot of help out there for adult learners. But we could really help more if we could help parents to understand the impact that they make on a child's future very early in life by saying words like, you're stupid, you're crazy, you have weird ideas, you don't fit into this family. I'm sure that there's others out there. Anybody have anything else to add to that? I don't know if there's another uncomfortable thing that parents say. I know, Maria, you've gone through some things. Go ahead, Nassim.
Well, you'll never be anything. Your father wasn't anything. You know, mm-hmm. You'll never be anything. Who do you think you are?
Yes.
That kind of thing.
That's right. As Nelson Mandela's speech that he elaborated on from Marianne Williamson says that we are, it says that who are we, help me out a little bit with this, that it is not that we fear others, we fear, oh gosh, I have the thing right here, I say it all the time and all of a sudden I lost it. But we fear that we are inadequate. We say to ourselves, who are we to be beautiful and wonderful and strong? Well, I ask our listeners out there, all of you out there today, who are you not to be? You are strong and you are able to overcome many of the mental health conditions that we've talked about in four parts for the last four Saturdays. And I hope that successfully you will stop letting them affect your performance at school and work. If you know somebody that this is happening to, go on the computer and listen to some of our archive shows. They're saved. And just sit down with them with a cup of coffee or tea or whatever and let them listen to the show and open up a conversation about it. We wish you much love and peace. And we look forward to hearing from all of you next Saturday as our topics begin to change now. And we wish Nassim and Dorothy great success with their show. Say the name, Nassim.
Reconnected.
Say it again.
Reconnected. They go to blogtalkradio.com/reconnected.
There you go. Reconnected. And if you need more information on his show, you can either go to Blog Talk Radio or just feel free to call White Apple Institute and we'll get that information to you. But he'll be coming on right after our show. Right? All right.
That's right.
And thank you so much for that great music again. And we are excited for you. And again, wish you much love and peace out there. And we'll talk to you next Saturday. This is Professor Applewhite signing out of the Student Teacher Radio Show. God bless.